Welcome to the Alex of Dynasty Podcast. I'm your host, Jordan McNamara. This is the reaction to week 16. This is the semifinals. Some good luck, especially late in the day. I know the Dak Prescott, Amari Cooper linkage there was really important. I went into that game. I was like, man, if this is not a good performance, like this year could really be on the outs. But we got good performances and turned it positive. I had a chance to come back from 63, 64 down. Almost got all the way back with Amari Cooper and Dak together. And I made it to about 60. And then there was the blocked punt, which killed me because I was suspecting that they were coming back in the game. And then they didn't. So, yeah, so that was it. But other than that, I think I had three other matchups that game proved decisive on, which was huge. So really good there. Exciting. And I know that was a game that in the group chat we were highly exposed to. So we were really excited about that. So good there. Just run down to some of the injury stuff for this week. And we'll have more of some reactions, you know, and some thoughts on yeah, the snaps and efficiencies and expectations and all that stuff here during the week. But Lamar may still be out another week. So I think it'll be interesting with some of the COVID stuff about, is this another Josh Johnson game? 35 years old, he posts a top 8 week this week. Now it's pending Monday Night Football, but wild. And I think if you were to sort of go at this game and say, you know, what is there a lesson from this week? And obviously these things aren't necessarily correlated, but talk about your studs, right? Like pay up at quarterback. I mean, Burrow, Prescott, Allen, Mahomes, Murray. Like, yeah. Like Rodgers is a top 8 guy. Yeah. I mean, you get a top 12 week out of Herbert as well. It was a little bit less, but yeah, I mean, look at, just when you look at some of these guys, they really pop off for huge elite games down the stretch here. Particularly Burrow, Allen, and Prescott setting themselves apart. So it's really big takeaways there. Just turning some of the scoring stuff, and you know, the more I'm sort of prepping and finishing up the research for the 2022 edition, that continues to strike at me. When you sort of look at the other things here, like let's take the flip side of that. You know, what works, right? Elite quarterbacks work. What also works? Volume at running back. Justin Jackson, running back 1 in the week, right? I couldn't have told you. I study this stuff every week, and we should do a clip barrage of my like hemming and hawing on that backfield for 15 weeks. And I think we finally got a pretty good indication. And honestly, I felt pretty good about playing Justin Jackson this week. Like, I didn't really have a good idea for 4 months on who to roster. I said, you know, it's a low confidence thing. But once it sort of came around that we could have some confidence that Justin Jackson would see, you know, 19 touches, we didn't obviously know that going in, but it did feel like it had consolidated around him. He posts a running back 1 number, the running back 1 number. So we're going to add that to the lore of, you know, Raheem Mostert and, you know, Tim Hightower, right? Those sorts of games. Burkhead, again, I didn't have that. He was a free agent in week 16 of leagues that I'm in. Like, and these aren't shallow leagues. Like 28 man free agent, multiple of them. And I picked him up in one, and I was like, I'll just guard against someone else picking him up. Like, I'm not going to play him, but I'd just rather have him rostered than played against me, you know? And so, so that one, you know, who knows if that would have happened, but yeah, I mean, running back 3, running back 4, Damian Harris. Joe Mixon was running back 2, by the way. Damian Harris, running back 4, Nick Chubb, running back 5. So a couple of the running backs, early running backs there. Chase Edmonds, 6, David Montgomery, 7, Sony Michel, 8. And that's consolidating. I'll get there in a second. Rashad Penny, 9, Devin Singletary, 10. That was one I actually talked some folks out of. I was like, I just don't, you know, especially with Moss being active, I just didn't trust it. You know, he scores a touchdown. It's not particularly effective. It's 17 touches for less than 80 yards, but you get a touchdown rate. It helps. Ronald Jones was a spot start. Posts a running back one, you know, pending Monday Night Football, running back one type performance. And there might actually be pending the Sunday night scores too. I'm just recording this a little after the game ended. So there might actually be, yeah. So he's, let's call him a high-end running back too. You know, Madison gets 16 points as well. I mean, you 100% take that given you start, you know, you started him in a spot start perspective, 100%. You know, Jacobs falls down a little bit further, 13.4 points. Again, you'll take it. Heck, it beats Jonathan Taylor at 10.8. It's one of those things, if you don't fall into the end zone, it's tough. I mean, heck, we've been begging all year for Jacobs to have a big game on the ground. He goes 129 yards. You know, and but just doesn't get a huge, you know, huge statistical scoring line out of it. So, but yeah, I mean, I think, you know, if you had gone back and said, all right, you know, what's the lesson to take from the running back position? I mean, it is a big, yeah, there's a lot here in terms of like just spot starts. Jeff Wilson, top 16 guy, you know, he'll be a running back two performer, you know, once the week closes out. But Madison, Ronald Jones, heck, Singletary, depending on how you view that, Penny, Michelle, Edmonds, depending on how you sort of want to, you know, what, this has been a long arc on that Chase Edmonds value perspective here. But Damian Harris as well wasn't fully ever clear, especially, you know, coming into it. You talk about the Harris-Madison exacta from a couple of years ago. You get two spot starts here finishing out in the, you know, call it the top 16 or so on the week when it matters. Those things can really be helpful, especially the Harris one. I mean, there's a two touchdown difference basically between him and Madison in scoring on the week. So good performances there all around in terms of some of the guys we are exposed to. Looks like it's an Achilles tear for James Robinson. I will say this, so this opens up a window for Travis Etienne. It's an extremely complicated situation. A lot of moving pieces with Robinson, with a new coaching staff potentially. All those things, I think, it make it pretty interesting and complicated in terms of Etienne's arc. That said, I think you're going to give him an edge to be the 2022 starter. I've seen different reports on James Robinson about whether or not it's a full Achilles tear. So we'll have to watch that. We'll get more information on that. But I think some of the development, some of the the rehab of a guy like Akers, for example, which just looked optimistic. Foreman, I think is good. We've seen other guys as well. You know, CJ Uzama, right? Kenny Ngannou, right? We've seen guys that look good with this injury. And listen, I've said all along, I think the prior on people saying like, hey, running backs haven't recovered from this injury, it's not representative of a guy like James Robinson. It's just not. It's James Robinson is what, 23, 24 years old. They've trended older. They've trended certainly with less density, less base rates. Especially the age perspective. I kind of like a guy like Akers to recover a little bit better than a guy like Robinson, just because I think he's a little bit better of an athlete. I think he's got a little bit more room to return from. But Foreman was a guy that you know, was kind of that big athlete. You know, I mean, there were some questions about him, but definitely could move, and he has come back. So, I don't think that, you know, we've seen it with other places too. I mean, we've seen it with basketball in particular, and people are like, oh, it's not the same thing. Like, I don't know. Like, it's sure it's not, but are we going to use, you know, an early 2000s prior on a guy on a running back? Are we going to use is that going to be the defining thing, or is it going to be like, hey, let's use a little bit more context here and see? That all said, like, I think James Robinson has a tough Like, if you gave me over under top 24 finish the rest of his career, I'm going to say no, just because I think it's just going to be clouded enough, especially with ETN and all that. So that's going to be a pivot play recommendation probably. I want to see the full story about his Achilles, but my inclination would be to sort of would be on probably the sell side of it right now. You know, buying for a third. What the hell? But, you know, I think if I can get anything near a core asset, I'm going to do it. Okay, a couple other ones here. Looks like it's an AC sprain, just like a shoulder, collarbone range. You know, if you're thinking up there in terms of your shoulder, Dr. Chow, didn't think that it was broken. I haven't seen other reports on it, but just that he's going for testing this week. But looks like the inclination is probably not broken, which should give him the ability to potentially return later on in the season. We'll see here the length of it. This might open up a Darrell Williams start, depending on the severity. Miles Sanders looks like he could need surgery for his hand. It's a hand injury, but it's one that he probably could return for. I think it was someone earlier in the season that actually did this, that had hand surgery and then came back. I can't remember who it was offhand, but it's happened relatively recently. A running back has done this. So we'll have to watch for that. And maybe I'm confusing it with Russell Wilson, but yeah, I mean, we've seen these returns, so we'll watch for that. And this could be, you know, a moving situation here with some uncertainty in the backfield, which we'll deal with in snap reactions. Swift didn't play, you know, probably doubtful for week 15. I'm worried about Gibson, you know, whether they're going to continue to try and play him through that toe injury. So we'll watch that as well. Let's see here. Darrell Henderson, possibly an MCL sprain, should probably miss week 17. So that's going to be a Sony Michel game. So again, you look. I think we'll have to watch for if James Robinson is going to be a Carlos Hyde game. He's dealing with being out. So it was Dare Ogunbowale this past week that was in this week that was able to capitalize on the lost time for James Robinson. So we'll have to watch for that situation. You know, Hyde's been put on IR, so he's going to miss the season. So maybe it's a Dare Ogunbowale play. You know, I'm not sure I'm going to feel confident playing that, but we'll see. You know, we'll have to see as the matchups go on. If, you know, if this may be a Rykel Armstead activation game as well. I don't know who's inactive this game, but we'll have to see there. And then I think a guy like Carlos Hyde, you might be able to cut at this point too, so... all right, so the receivers, Thielen actually aggravated his ankle, was able to make it back. And then we'll see with Evans. I think it's a big one we're going to watch for. Dalton Schultz with a concussion. It appeared that he left with a concussion. A scary play. So that, you know, we'll watch for Kelce returning. I think it's obviously a big one in terms of his COVID return. It seemed like he was pretty close, so hopefully he's good to go for week 17 in our championship weeks. All right, so that'll pretty much do it. Again, things to look for this week. I think you're gonna, you know, if you're not playing, if you're not competing, if you're not contending, cutting kickers, cutting defenses, cutting guys that you can't necessarily places actually being injury away guys next year, right? So for example, you know, we talk about trying to expose yourself to the Xavier Jones type situation. You know, if that's something that could happen with your backfield, with the person in your backfield, I think that's something positive to, you know, to potentially still hold on to. But I think you have to have a little bit of common sense, right? You know, that's, you know, maybe a, I think you tend to look for some situation in front of that person that could potentially clear itself to make it just so you're an injury away guy for a period of time. Right. So contractual, right. You know, Corey Clement might hold in that vein because listen, like there's a, a remote chance. I don't think it's a super likely chance, but there's a chance that Zeke gets caught, for example, right? Another one I'd probably hold would be like Kenny Ngannou, just because I don't think that Dalvin Cook's going to get caught, but I think Kenny Ngannou is really interesting from a profile perspective, that he's one that he could potentially, you know, heck, Madison's going to be a free agent, you know, and all of those things. So you could potentially hold him throughout the offseason. Maybe he doesn't make it all the way through, but I think there's enough like uncertainty with that. You know, there's been rumors that Madison might be a trade candidate and all that sort of stuff, but you know, that's one, you know, and Dalvin Cook has gotten himself in enough trouble throughout his time that having a guy like Ngannou makes some sense, right? So those would be some of the types of situations I'd be trying to exploit, like third guys in like Miami, for example. Like I'm not probably holding Malcolm Brown at this point as an example. Probably not holding like Godwin Igwabuki, for example. Like that's a guy that I'd probably move off of shares. But one that I think would be interesting too is like Jarrett Patterson. I think makes some sense, because he's a guy that could, I think, potentially get through to being an injury away guy next year. All right, so I think going through some of those, and I'll probably have a little bit more of that type of focus here in snap reactions and your running back rundown show this week on some of those things. But those are definitely situations that you need to look for. And optimize anything that you can too, right? So optimizing any sort of taxi squad eligibility that you might have. And there's different rules. I mean, we could do a 10-hour course on managing all the ins and outs of different taxi squads. It's crazy some of the rules that are out there, just the divergent variance between how different leagues use that system, right? Some are just free access on and off. Some are, you know, once you take them off, they're gone forever. Some are, you know, rookies. Some are, you can keep them on forever. It's a whole range of stuff. So really understand those rules, but maximize them, right? If you have, like, hey, you can at any point put a rookie on your taxi squad, like, max that thing out. Right? Use every one you can get, you know. And listen, if there's an unlimited injury thing, you know, I have a couple of those leagues where it's like unlimited injury things, and I'm carrying 10 guys, right? And it's just, it's a 1% shot. It's a 1% shot. It's a 1% shot. Like, all right, it's going to be a 0.5% shot, you know, but I'm just adding it up and be like, all right, maybe I can get, you know, 5-6%. And listen, it's probably not going to work, but if I do that over and over again, and maybe at some point it does, right? You know, I'm just, again, I'm trying to optimize all those things. Listen, if instead of taking 35 shots in a draft, I'm sort of maxing out, or on a roster in the offseason, I'm maxing out 35 plus a taxi squad. This is a true example. I'm a 35-man league, 7-man taxi squad, and I think the limit is, I haven't reached it yet, which has been mildly impressive. And I'm not sure actually what the limit is, but something I'm going to have to check. I believe it's 10, but IR guys, right? So instead of 35, I'm really rostering like 52 guys, right, or north of that. I know I got at 1.250, which makes me think maybe the injury number is even higher than I thought it was. But yeah, I mean, just optimizing those things. And listen, like, it was Marquez Stevenson, for example. Like, it's not a great bet, but at that depth of league, you know, taking a shot on some of these deeper guys, it does make some sense. You know, maybe in safe leagues, it doesn't pay out. But I think every chance you can to optimize, right, to have a shot at a relevant guy. And just, you know, and now's the time where people are tired, especially guys that are out of it, or teams that are out of it, or GMs that are out of it, right? No one's paying the same level of attention, right? Really try and focus, make this time, you know, and especially if you're done, make this time of cut kicker defense, you know, make this time your optimization time, and use your things. The other thing too, is, you know, some of these leagues, just be careful on the illegal lineup setting. I had a nightmare about it this morning that I had jacked it up in safe leagues, which of course doesn't have an IR. So I don't know what, you know, it was just, I woke up in like a cold panic at like 5:30 in the morning that I had like a, that, you know, my biggest safe leagues, had an issue because I like had violated IR protocol, which of course couldn't possibly happen because there are no IR protocols. But make sure to optimize them. The other part of optimizing them is, and this is, I don't think this is necessarily against the rules. You know, I would make sure you pay attention to what your rule is, and think about sort of this before you do it. But just remember that if the punishment for having too many people on IR or having someone on IR that you don't take off is you can't start a lineup. And maybe that's a COVID thing or it's a, you know, whatever. But you can't start a lineup. Like if you're out of the playoffs, you don't have to worry about that. Right. So if that's the penalty for having someone on IR that can't be on IR or for not activating someone off IR. So for example, let's just use an example, a real life example here. You come into this week and you, you've got Brandon Cooks on your IR because he's got on the COVID list. Okay. And you take, you know, you cut kicker defense, you sort of max out all your roster spots, you got all your taxi loaded up, you're fully loaded up on your IR, right? You cut kicker defense, and your roster's full. And, you know, again, let's just use a hypothetical that on Saturday, Brandon Cooks gets activated off the IR list. If the punishment for having him on your IR when he is not on IR is it doesn't allow you to set a lineup because it's illegal. If you're not playing, who cares? Right, that's sort of my thought on that, right? Like, okay, your punishment is, this is kind of like, you know, this is an example that I use all the time. When people say that, you know, oh, my Miranda rights were violated. They didn't read me my Miranda rights. Well, did they ask you any questions? No, they didn't. Okay, then what do you want? Okay, your Miranda rights only come into play if you are, you know, if you're actually made statements that the government is trying to use against you. And so if they didn't, if they just arrest you and don't ask you any questions, right, you don't, your Miranda rights aren't even applicable. And so that's one of those things where, like, I would just say, okay, fine, like, I'll take the punishment. I'll take the punishment if I can't set a lineup. Right. Just be careful on that, or you don't want to make enemies. You don't want to piss people off, and maybe have someone you can cut, right? But I think, you know, being attuned to the rules and using them to your advantage, particularly in this context, in this setting, it might give you a small edge that's worth it. So just pay attention to those things. And you know, max out all your rosters and all that. Cut kicker defense, obviously. You know, cut backup quarterbacks that aren't secure, right? I mean, Tyler Huntley, I'd probably keep. Chad Henne, I probably wouldn't. Right? Use those kind of decision making processes for sure. So, all right. Well, that'll pretty much do it for this episode. I'll have snap reactions this week. I'll probably have a little bit more abridged version. So much of what we are dealing with is just reaction to COVID. So, I mean, if we're being totally honest, like it's probably going to matter more than, you know, hey, here's the rundown of the snap shares of the Washington tight end. I will still do that stuff, but, maybe in a little bit more abridged version here as we're just trying to take a 1 week, you know, thread a 1 week needle here through all the COVID stuff and give you some spots to look for some potential options. All right, well, that'll do it for this episode. Until next time, continue embracing the variants, and we will talk again very soon.